Well, Dr. Davies, thanks so much for taking time after your first commencement as Murray State president.
Well, thank you very much. And I have to say, you know, commencement is indeed one of my favorite activities as a university president, as a member of a university community. It symbolizes what we're here for, and that's student success and really preparing them for the last 4 or 5 years of their collegiate career, and then giving them that courage, that foundation, that platform to jump off and go forward and do great things for themselves, their families, and their communities. And so, again, it's just one of those magical moments of higher education that symbolizes what we are here for, and that student success.
Well, let's talk a bit about some of the business of the university. There was a Board of Regents meeting just a few weeks ago, and one of the items during the meeting that generated a lot of conversation was a report from McGuire and Associates. They, presented their findings of a marketing and tuition study that they had performed for the university. And in short, the report from the group seemed as though that Murray State is doing a great job messaging for low pricing and the friendly feel that you have when you're on Murray State's campus. But there seemed to be a lack of messaging regarding academic rigor or excellence. And there was a lot of discussion by the Board of Regents during that particular aspect of the presentation. And I wondered what your takeaways were as the president.
Well, I think there's a lot of takeaways for me as a president, and I think there's a lot of takeaways from that for our university community. We've initiated a lot of those discussions early on in my presidency at the fall retreat of the Board of Regents through many conversations with the Board of Regents, a lot of conversations across our campus with faculty, staff, and even with our students, and it's also embedded in our strategic planning process as well. And right or wrong, strategic or conscious or unconscious, I'm not sure, and I don't think anyone can really go back and point to it. But, you know, around 5, 6, 7 years ago, we made a choice to really compete on price and focus in on price as the leading indicator or the leading brand, if you will, for Murray State University. And we also concentrated pretty much on numbers, numbers, numbers. And I think one of the things that we've really had a great discussion over the last 6 months is that indeed what we want to have Murray State stand for. And I think the resounding answer from the campus community, the faculty, the staff, and even the students and the Board of Regents and others is no, not necessarily do we want to be positioning ourselves as the low-cost provider. We want to position ourselves as a quality, high-quality academic institution known for success of our students, known for academic rigor, known for being accessible, being affordable, but having very key indicators of quality, key indicators, again, of that rigor, of that stanch, of academic, and I won't call it academic quality, I'll call it academic integrity. And so those are some of the things that I think were highlighted by the McGuire as they talked to potential students, both within our 18-county region, throughout the Commonwealth, and then also from students, potential students outside of the Commonwealth that are interested in Murray State University. And this is I won't call it a monumental shift, but I do believe it is a shift in our thinking and a shift in our efforts. It gets us away from going after all students, but going after those students who are college ready and college prepared. That doesn't mean that we're going after only the top students or elite students or along those lines, but those students who are ready for the academic rigor, those students who are ready to put forth the energy and efforts that it will take to be a Murray State graduate, a member of our community.
You mentioned that numbers may not be the only concern that the university should have. If entrance requirements become a bit more rigorous and you may see a decline in enrollment based on some of these decisions, what would be some of the budget backstops you'd look to maintain service quality, considering our low cost?
Well, I think the things that we need to consider are, in fact, the cost of education. One of the aspects about the McGuire study was, in fact, what is our tuition elasticity? And they found some very interesting findings based on the elasticity, where in some cases we have a lot of room to increase the tuition without sacrificing overall revenues. There's also some areas, primarily in our 18-county region, that a shift upward or increase in tuition would have other ramifications. But there are some very interesting mixes within that. You made a comment, too, that I want to highlight, too, is if we do indeed go out and attract and work harder to get the academic prepared student, the notion or the belief is all of a sudden that we will see shrinking enrollments. We got some demographic shifts going on that we need to be prepared for. One, the number of students who are graduating from high school within the 18-county service region is declining. It's declining throughout the entire Commonwealth, more so than it is here. Our major competitor within the 18-county region is not necessarily other universities. We do not lose many students to the University of Kentucky or to Western or whatnot. Most of the students in the 18-county region are making the decision, do I go to a community college or do I go to Murray State? To me, that is something that we need to be very mindful of who that competitor is. And right now, it's the community college or Murray State. And so, again, as we position ourselves of academic rigor and everything else, we are making a big standard shift that will separate us from that competitive field. We are not necessarily, I'm not necessarily saying that we need to increase our entrance requirements. What I am saying, though, is that we admit a lot of students on special conditions. Our restrictions are along those lines. To me, those are the students that we need to be really thinking about. Do we continue to admit those students in that manner, or do we find other pathways to higher education that may or may not lead to Murray State in the future? Other universities have gone through the same discussion. And here's the little secret. Over time, and not very long period of time, their enrollments have actually increased. So, yes, as we start going through this process, there may be a year in which we're flat or maybe a little bit down in terms of that freshman class. But when we start talking about the retention figures, when we start talking about the graduation figures, when we start talking about the ability to open up wider circles, those are where we will see differences and I would project enrollment growth over the period of time. At that same time, we need to be thinking about our university in different ways. If we continue to just think about the service region, if we continue to just think about the circles that we are in now, we will, just by natural progression, become a smaller university. So how do we investigate, how do we open up new markets that are afforded, that can be afforded us? We are a fine academic institution, no question about it. Our graduates compete at the highest level, and they succeed in competing at the highest level. Where we need to be thinking about is how do we shift our messaging? How do we shift our focus? How do we shift our mindset around what is that ideal size? How do we make sure that we're able to fill those seats? And how do we make sure we fill those seats with the right students?
Let's move on to the organizational structure changes, which you had hinted that there might be some changes the last time we spoke last month. And in fact, you made some pretty significant changes at the board meeting, including moving the transfer center and enrollment services essentially to report to you. And also the Office of University Communications will now report to you, including a search for a new person in that position. These changes have added a number of people who report directly to you. Now, the board did mention that it could be used as a tool to evaluate you. What do you hope to accomplish with these moves into your specific area?
There are several things I want to accomplish with those particular moves, and one is to talk about and to send a very clear signal to the university the importance of these two areas. And I do take the board's discussion about the evaluation process of me and whatnot, and I fully agree with that and I fully accept that. But let me also point out very plainly, they're going to evaluate me on enrollment anyways. They're going to evaluate me on our retention, our graduation, the number of students, the type of students, the quality of students, the academic rigor, and all of those various things. They're going to, and rightfully so, evaluate me on those areas. To me, a organizational chart is a living, breathing thing. It's not something that is static and just based on lines and this, that, and the other. It is saying to the greater population, what are the important features, what are the important aspects, and that can be analyzed by where it is on the organizational chart. Some of the things I think we're restructuring to create synergies. Our undergraduate enrollment office is doing a fine job. They're doing a great work. They're working very, very hard. Same thing with the transfer center. What struck me is that having them separated, we were losing synergies. We were duplicating processes. We need to market to transfer and work with transfer students differently than we do with first year. No question about that. By keeping them in distinct units but reporting under the same structure, to me, was very, very important. With regards to the marketing and branding, that's one area that we need to strengthen. The McGuire study talked a lot about how we need to be on that area. My background, my particular background, is indeed university marketing and communication, and so I do bring a certain expertise to that. But I think there's a lot of opportunities as well to create a truly integrated marketing approach, working with the individual colleges, working with our auxiliary services, working with our various entities across the campus, so that we are, in fact, sending out one very clear strategy. Last Thursday, I had the joy and opportunity to listen to three group projects, class titled JMC 465, Bob Valentine, where he created three different marketing advertising agencies who spent the entire semester investigating and making proposals and thinking and ultimately accumulating in a proposal to the university for an integrated marketing approach. And what they were able to come up with was absolutely phenomenal. The key thing that they kept on coming back to was a consistent message for the entire university that each of the areas can come and be built underneath. And to me, that's what we're trying to build and will be building with this new organizational design.
Okay, let's move on to something that's been telegraphed for quite a while on campus, and that is a tobacco or smoke-free policy. And as you said, there were multiple options presented to the board. The board, after quite a bit of debate, had a split vote but decided to go with a tobacco-free policy, including things like e-cigarettes and anything that might come down the line that could be considered a tobacco-like substance.
The board indeed did take very direct and specific action that we will become a tobacco-free campus. And I kind of chuckled with when you were saying tobacco-free and tobacco-like and whatever may else come down. I have had a conversation with my colleagues from my former state in Oregon where they've all adopted tobacco-free and tobacco-like products. But now that marijuana is legal in Oregon,
yeah.
It's opened up a whole new discussion about the policy of tobacco-free and that issue. And that also brings in implications of federal law because of federal funds. And it's but yes, we are. The board has given me clear direction. What I will be doing, what the board has requested of me, is that we present a policy in February. And that as part of this policy, it will be implemented over up to a year. That was the language within the motion that was passed. So even when we present the policy in February, becoming tobacco-free in February is not the case. This policy will outline the various aspects of becoming tobacco-free, which will include cessation programs, education programs, and marketing and communicating the tobacco-free policy, what does it mean, the communication. A key issue of this policy, and like any policy, will be handling the enforcement as well as handling some aspects that don't, going tobacco-free, just there's certain things that we got to be very cognizant of. For example, research. We do research on tobacco. We do research on smoking. We do research on the impact and effects of smoking. We need to make sure that the policy continues to allow those type of activities to occur. But then you get into the enforcement of day-to-day. And there's a lot of different avenues that can go down. Most universities will handle those situations as a personnel, if it's a faculty or staff member, or a student code of conduct, if it's a student, to go through that process. Some universities go the opposite way. They handle as a civic issue, if you will, and they write tickets, and there's a $10 fine or a warning for the first one, a $10 fine for the second one, and a $50 fine for the third one, and a $100 for the, whatever. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the things that we'll be talking about. I think the main thing is that we use common sense, that we understand the importance of the rule. We need to understand that this is done for the safety and health of all of our students, all of our faculty, all of our visitors. Lots of open communication, lots of dialogue, and we'll continue forward.
Well, Dr. Davies, we've run out of time this week, and I truly appreciate you stopping by before winter break.
My pleasure, and again, I just wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year for us, the Davies family. It's been a wonderful 2014, and I want to thank everyone for just welcoming us into Murray community, the Murray State University community as well. We cannot be happier to be here, and we're looking for a very, very fruitful and prosperous 2015.